God's good. Amen. Well, it's time for Brother Harry Shepherd. He was over here and now he's disappeared. Brother Harry Spender preached a year and a half ago now. Spender ministry. And I appreciate Brother Harry. He'll be going to Crown Southwest starting here in a few days. So, it was yesterday. Man, we already started. Time flies.
Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. And while you're turning, I would just like to say praise God and thank all of y'all who prayed for my son. He had his eye appointment. Everything came back good. And went and saw the oncologist, and they're going to do one more test just to triple check everything, but he doesn't feel like there's any other kind of secondary tumors or anything, so just a matter of time, and it'll all go away. So, thank God. So starting in chapter 13 of Matthew, we find that our Lord is at the seaside, and he's speaking to the multitudes. And starting in verse 3, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear." So after he says this, the disciples kind of take him aside and ask him, "Lord, why are you speaking in parables? People don't understand what you're saying." And he explains to them that it's not their time to know, that it's not their place at this point. But he goes ahead and clarifies for the disciples what he's saying. Starting in verse 18, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, but for when tribulation and persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended." In 22, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I'm going to focus on verses 22 and 23 and the different results from sowing of the seed in those two types of ground. You know, one of them is unfruitful. The other one is fruitful up to the point of being 100-fold. So the question is why? You know, they're both given the exact same seed. They're both received the word. They both are taught, given the same message, but one of them bears fruit and one of them doesn't. So if it's the same seed, you can't blame the word. You can't blame the message that they were given. So the problem has to be with the ground. And it says in 22 that the seed was sown among thorns. Okay, well, one ground is good ground and the other one has thorns, so got to get rid of the thorns. So the next question would be, you know, what are the thorns? Matthew, the Lord tells you in Matthew 22 that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Mark goes a little bit further and says also that it's the lust of other things. So basically, in our life, that would apply to, you know, every time we decide to sit down and watch a little TV instead of reading our Bible, you're letting those thorns grow up. Every time we decide we're just going to work a little bit later to pay for that flat-screen TV or that iPod we just have to have instead of coming out for visitation or witnessing to a neighbor. Every time we decide to pick up our fishing pole or our rifle or go to that NASCAR race instead of coming out here on Sunday morning, you're letting those thorns grow up and letting those weeds grow, and you're becoming unfruitful. You know, not that any of those things are inherently bad in themselves. There's some good programs on TV, few and far between, but there's some there. Everybody's got to work. You got to pay bills. But when those things take priority over, you know, the main thing, which is Christ in your life, then you're allowing those thorns to grow up and to choke the word and to cause you to be unfruitful. Result of that is that you're a weak, yellow, shriveled up little plant of a Christian. I mean, no nice way to say it. I think no one here is immune to that. You know, as Christians, we all tend to let the weeds grow up in our garden at times, and you got to get rid of them. And what's the main way, the only real way to get rid of weeds in your garden? It's the same thing you do in your spiritual life. You got to get on your knees. If you'll do that, you'll get on your knees, and you'll face those thorns and those weeds and tear them out and make room in there for Christ to grow and become, if I can speak, because I made fun of you on Sunday for talking, that it'll allow Christ to grow in our lives, and we will become fruitful as we tear out all those weeds and those thorns and all the things that should be secondary. Then that we have the nutrients available there to grow that plant as a Christian. We have the time, we have the talent, we have the treasure available and dedicated so that we can grow and bear fruit. And as we do that, the result is that we are now the ground that he speaks of in 23, that we are now the good, fruitful ground, bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The Bible doesn't say in 23 that the good ground is inherently good. It doesn't say that, you know, it was always good, it's always going to be good, nothing's going to change it. Or that the opposite is true. It doesn't say that that ground full of thorns is always going to be unproductive, unfruitful ground. So it's a good reminder for us as Christians, even as we see fruit in our lives and we see that we are productive, to not become complacent, that we still need to be vigilant and watch and make sure that we're not allowing those things to grow up in our lives and take priority and get in the way. For me personally, when I got saved, I was about as thorn-filled a piece of ground as you could find. I smoked, I drank, I did drugs, I ran around with married women, I did everything you could think of. Pretty much any sin you can imagine, I was there. Thankfully, the Lord, didn't look at me and say, "No, it's a waste of my time." He still put that seed there, planted that seed in my heart, and allowed me to have the chance to grow up and to mature and to pull those weeds out of my life one at a time and to eventually bear some fruit. I know I've got a long way to go, but I'm thankful that the Lord has continued to work with me and to continue to provide. And I'm thankful that, that the seed is good, and that if we will just tend to that garden of our soul and of our heart, and like I say, watch it every day and remove all those things that don't really matter, we'll be allowed to reap that harvest and to bear fruit. And to, on that day, when we go to heaven, we'll be able to show Jesus and show the Lord that, here's what I've done, here's what I've accomplished, and be rewarded. And I just hope that every one of us will take a moment and reflect on our lives and look at yourself and see if, are you letting those weeds grow up? Are you letting those thorns come up in your life? Things separate you from the Lord. And if so, I hope you will get on your knees. I think every one of us should be on our knees daily, several times a day for some of us, tearing those weeds out one by one until we can bear that fruit. I gave you about 18 minutes left.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate Brother Harry. First time he spake in front of a crowd like this. Amen, right? First time he spoke. Well, you spoke to the youth department Sunday, right? They weren't listening. That is 90% true. Boy, I appreciate that, Brother Harry, very much. We do have Brother Dan Knickerbocker with us. He's the, I don't know what his official title is, but administrator of the Crown Southwest. And I tell you, he does about everything. How many hats do you have now? He's helping with the camp, the Texoma Baptist Youth Camp, and just a fine man. I appreciate him and his wife and the job they're doing at the school. And the school is just doing great. And Brother Dan, you come on and speak for us. And he did give you some time, so you got...
I know it. I enjoyed that. Once in a while, we have our students preach in chapel, so he'll be one of the first. Amen. How's that sound? What a delight to be with you tonight. I wasn't expecting earlier today for this to happen, but we have this trio, and boy, they want to sing. Amen. God has been so good. We had our grand opening last Friday, and we had 30 pastors show up. It was a tough weekend with Labor Day. All the preachers were crying the blues about how few were going to be in church, you know. But we had a good group come out, and Pastor Sexton spoke. He was very sick, had shingles, was on steroids to try to get better, and boy, they gave him too much steroids, and he was struggling. He's now just starting to come out of it, but God bless him, he made it. And we started out, we had 26 students register, and that is so exciting. And we were going for 30, but we'll take 26, amen? And we thank the Lord for the students that came down from Powell. We only have 6 of them this semester, so 20 Texas students. And I like that, don't you? And we're really thrilled about what God's doing. And I do want to take a moment to remind you of our Fort Worth School of the Bible that will be starting up on the 21st. That's just a few weeks away. It'll be a Monday evening. Your pastor will be teaching New Testament survey. And then, of course, Brother Eddie Johnson, he's going to be teaching on the Bible teacher. And then I'll be teaching on the Christian home. Now, there are some, we had one lady that came from one of the churches, and she said, you know, I always wanted to go to Bible college. Now, she was in her 70s, but she said, I thought I'd die and never get a chance to do that. And she said, now I'm going to Bible school. And she's all excited about it. I like that, don't you? And we're going to be graduating our first group this coming May. Those that graduate take 4 semesters at the Fort Worth School of the Bible will graduate in our May meeting, and they'll receive a Bible certificate. Oh, it's going to be exciting. They will have heard basically 12 courses and take notes. We give out beautiful notebooks. It's only $60 for the whole semester. And then we have recommended books if they would like to buy them. But it's a great opportunity for lay people to come. And one of the preachers, on Monday night, the ladies in their church have an ensemble, so they practice on Monday night. So all the guys said, Pastor, why don't we go to the Fort Worth School of the Bible? Now the girls, the ladies want to change their night of singing so they can come to the Fort Worth School of the Bible. We're praying, and pray with us for 100 students. Wouldn't that be something? Every Monday night at the conference center. But God is so good, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to take a couple of moments to speak. I want to check the time. Amen. I got about 10 minutes, 15. Okay, take your Bibles. Go with me, if you would, to 3 John. Let's stand for just a moment, if you would. I want to just take a moment to, if I may, whet your appetite a little bit for the Word of God here in 3 John. There are basically three people that I believe are very important characters that we need to learn from. The first one is Gaius. You'll notice in verse 1 it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This is John talking about a dear friend. His name is Gaius. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us in these closing moments of this Wednesday evening service. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice, first of all, a man named Gaius. I picture him in the church, Heritage Baptist Church, honestly. Men that are healthy brothers. Amen. And healthy sisters. What makes a healthy Christian? You'll notice that that he is well beloved. You know, a person builds a reputation by their actions. You've heard the phrase, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. There's enough hypocrites in the church to destroy the church. But thank God for those that are healthy and they prosper spiritually. They have a hunger for God's Word. I hope you can't get enough of God's holy Word. We must be healthy, spiritually healthy. He said, I want you to be healthy even as your soul prospereth. And Gaius must have had some physical problems. And he was saying, if you were as healthy physically as you are spiritually, boy, you'd be in tremendous shape. And we're going to pray for that, that your physical body would be as healthy as your spiritual soul is. And we need healthy Christians. You know what makes a great church? Healthy Christians. And Gaius was that kind of man. The second individual I want you to notice is found in verse 12. And his name is Demetrius. And I want you, if you're writing notes there, put down the helping brother. We have the healthy brother. Now we have the helping brother. Oh, there's nothing greater than people that are willing to help. We've been getting everything ready for this new semester, and we've been trying to get some work done at the camp, and we took the students up on Labor Day. You know, we believe that Labor Day is a day of labor. And we took those students up there, and man, they went to work, and we got so much done in such a short time. They were helpful. They were helpful. Don't you love to get around somebody that wants to help? Preacher, what can I do for the cause of Christ? Notice what the Bible says about Demetrius. He hath a good report of all men. You know, Jesus even said that your enemies will be at peace with you. You know, there are people, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ, they're going to have a gripe with you. But they can't argue with your love for them. You know, that's why Jesus said, love your what? He said, love your enemies. Bless them that what? Curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. What's he saying? He's saying that you are to be a helpful Christian. You're looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord. Many people come to church and say, what can this church offer me? When really they ought to be saying, what can I offer this church? What can I do to make this ministry greater? You know, this ministry is only as great as the helpers of this church. There are ministries functioning right now because someone says, I want to help the cause of Christ. Thank God for that. We have those that are able to give to help finish the building and continue the vision that God has given your pastor for this work. And thank God for every helper, every person that is anxious to do something. I want you to notice there in verse 14, he mentions something in closing. I love this verse. It says, in the very last part, peace be with thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by what? Name. You know, a friend you know by name. There are some people that are acquaintances, but then there are friends. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, over to the book of John chapter 15 for a moment. And you know, Jesus uses the term friends. And it's so powerful when Jesus speaks. In chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? His friends. Now, how many of you would lay down your life for somebody else? You're not going to lay your life down for an acquaintance. You're not going to lay your life down necessarily for an enemy. But think what Jesus did. He laid his life down that he might take it up again. But in laying down his life, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He saved us that we might serve Him and honor Him with our lives. And we can call the Lord Jesus our friend without reservation. He loves us when we're unlovely. And as Brother Shepherd was talking about that, and how that I was reminded when he said that about Adam and Eve and how that they were in the garden hiding. You remember that? God created them. He could have wiped them out because of their sin and transgression. But he came to them in their sinful state. Adam, where art thou? He wanted fellowship with them. That's a true friend. A friend loveth at all times. And he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The second thing I want you to notice here in verse chapter 15 is verse 14, where it says, ye are my friends, whether you want to be or not. Amen. You know, I've discovered something in Texas. Man, Texas is a big state. How many of you are not originally from Texas? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a number of you that are not. But I have loved the spirit that I've experienced with the pastors and the churches. It's been refreshing to my wife and I to be here. And we've been treated friendly. But you know what? I've made some friends. I've made some friends. And you know, they say if you have one or two friends in your lifetime, you're really doing good. But don't you think that the family of God, there ought to be a host of friends? Because we have Christ as the one that mediates between us. And you know, no two preachers are the same. I'm sure that Brother Crawford and I have differences. But you know what? We don't have any difference when it comes to the gospel. We don't have any difference when it comes to training young men and women for the gospel ministry. Thank the Lord for Sarah. Thank the Lord for Brandon. Amen. We had to get over and see them. You know, they don't come see us. No, they're just so busy. You're working them, brother. Amen. In fact, Brandon put on Facebook that he didn't have anything to do on Labor Day. So I quickly emailed him back or Facebooked him back and said, you can come up to the camp with us on Labor Day. He turned me down. Yeah. I guess he labors enough. Amen. But you know, friends want to help each other. And oh, next time somebody asks you to do something. Oh, I got to tell you something funny. You're going to get a kick out of this, Pastor. And I got to close here in a moment. We wanted to start a credit course on Monday night. And so I called one pastor. And I said, brother, you know, we want to start this Monday night course. Would you be willing to teach this credit course for us on Monday nights? It's only on Monday night through the whole semester, you know. No big deal, right? He goes, oh, brother, he said, I couldn't make any kind of commitment like that. And I said, you know, you sound just like church members. And he goes, you know, Brother Dan, you're breaking up. And he hung up on me. Oh, later, he said, I hope you weren't offended with that. I said, no, I love you, brother. I know you were just kidding. Amen. Oh, let me close by that last character. You know, we were talking about characters in the Bible. Here's a real character. Notice with me there. Let's go back, if we would, to 3 John. And notice a man by the name of Diotrephes. And you know, it's amazing because he had preeminence. But he sought to steal the preeminence. You know, there's really only two times, I believe, in the Bible where preeminence is mentioned. It's mentioned here where Diotrephes was seeking the preeminence. And then we find in the book of Colossians where Christ is the preeminent one. And the word preeminence means one and only one. None of us are to ever classify ourselves, even within our own mind, that we are to be the preeminent one. Folks, we're bond slaves of Jesus Christ. We're here to minister, to give away our lives. As Christ so freely gave Himself to us, we are to make ourselves available to do all that God would have us to do. I want you to notice something. Diotrephes loved having the preeminence. That's a character right there, isn't it? Notice the next thing. He didn't receive those of like precious faith. He didn't receive them because he felt that there was a competition. There was somebody that was trying to usurp authority over his preeminence. Folks, all ground is level at the cross. There are no big wheels and little wheels in God's economy. We're all sinners saved by grace. You know, I am directing Crown Southwest, but I'm a sinner first. And I'm so thankful that God has given me the opportunity to be saved. But I don't want to take any preeminence. Why would we want to take something away from the one that redeemed us and saved us? That'd be selfish, wouldn't it? Notice he also had a problem with... he said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us. He was an idle man. He was a tattler. He was a busybody. That's what the word prating means. With malicious words and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Oh, listen, we have decisions to make. What kind of a Christian are we going to be? Are we going to be as Diotrephes, and I called him the hindering brother. You might want to write that down. He hindered the work of God. I would hate to stand before God one day and say, Daniel, you were responsible for hindering the work of God. Oh, I would never want that to happen. That's why I take the stand of Gaius and take the stand of Demetrius and say, I want to be a healthy and helping brother. And I pray for each of you that God will. When I think of Heritage Baptist Church, I would pray that you would be a healthy church. Amen? That you would take heed to the Word of God and make the spiritual applications to yourself and not wait for somebody to rebuke you, but may the Holy Spirit of God rebuke us. And may as we study the Word of God, we will begin to, like he said, we'll take those thorns out. Amen? That's not easy work. But with God, it's much easier. You know, I've done things in the flesh and then I've done things in the spirit. There's a huge difference, isn't there? May God help us to be healthy and helping Christians in the great work of God. Let's bow together in prayer. While every head's bowed and every eye closed. Maybe God dealt with you in that first message about some thorn. You know, you could have a lot of thorns taken out of your life, but yet there's still one thorn that's keeping you from being a healthy brother or sister. Maybe there's one thorn that's keeping you from being a helping Christian. Let's stand together, and as they accompany us and begin to play the music, as they play, instead of our singing, let's let them play, and you just come and find a place and say, Lord, help me to be healthy. Help me to be helping. And if there's any area of my life that I'm hindering the work of God, please speak to my heart. Go ahead. You come right now. God bless you.